I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
My name is Chris Payne. I'm your host. I am a correspondent here on staff at billboards.com. I read a lot about rock and alternative music, and I do this podcast, and one of my favorite things about doing this podcast is getting feedback from you guys. And I did an episode a couple weeks back called Country Music is Changing, and Here's How. Had a couple writer friends of mine come on and talk about country music, and I got a lot of positive feedback about that. Some of you guys were saying, yo, I really enjoy the musician interviews, but also I would love to hear you do more of these talks with other writers. And yeah, I figured you're right. Let's do some more stuff along those lines. So this episode have a guest who's one of my favorite people in the Billboard office. Her name is Emily White. She works in the charts department. She specializes in the rock charts. Kind of like-minded people there. So had her on for this talk about what we're most excited for as far as rock, indie, alternative music, whatever you want to call it. What we're most excited for in that world coming up in this last quarter, end of September through the end of December in 2015. Had a pretty interesting talk with her. One thing that was really neat was she's saying how she wants to do it old school with her favorite band putting out a new album this year. Instead of listening to it when it leaks or streams a week early, she wants to wait to the actual release date to actually hear the album the way people used to for the first time. I thought that was pretty interesting. We talked about a lot of things like that. Talked about what we're most excited for, releases coming up, things that are definitely coming out, things that actually have release dates, things that might come out. Things that could just drop out of the sky. We talked about how that's all changing the music industry. I really enjoyed this talk, so hope you guys like it too. And yeah, like I was saying, I really appreciate the feedback. If you could hop on iTunes and rate the podcast, that would be super awesome. If you have any specific feedback, you can hit me up on Twitter at cpaineonaplane, or my email address at billboard is chris.paine@billboard.com. So yeah, Alt in Our Stars 2015 Fall Albums Preview. Hope you enjoy it. But we got some things to be excited about.
Yeah, well, I was actually, I was going to bring up Krill when talking about another band, Ought.
Yeah, let's talk about them. Because are they exploding in sound?
No, they're not exploding in sound. So Ought is from... they're from Montreal. Their second album's coming out on Friday. Mm-hmm. And the reason I was going to bring them both up is just they have a really similar sort of like very tense, like off-kilter rhythms. They have a very similar sort of sound.
Mm-hmm. And really political too, it seemed like, from what I was reading an interview that Impose did with them.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, their music was inspired by these, like, campus protests where they went to school. I think they went to school in Montreal.
Yeah, yeah. They're not all from Montreal. And, again, if I'm mistaking Montreal for another Canadian city, I'm terribly sorry to Canada. they're not all from Montreal, but they went to school and all met in Canada.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, so their second album, Sun Coming Down, is out on Friday. And it's just, like, Ought is, like, a perfect amalgamation of so many of my, like, so many types of things in music that I like.
Mm-hmm.
Like they do, like, speak singing really well. I'm a big speak singing fan. Like, they do just repetition really well in this, like, very, like, cathartic way. But yeah, so that's definitely an album that that I like a lot.
And Ought, A-O-U-G-H-T.
Ought.
To clarify that.
You oughta know.
Ought. You oughta know.
Yeah.
Have you seen any headlines about Ought that were puns of the Alanis Morissette song?
I haven't. I have not.
Ooh. Maybe we'll have to edit that part out. Not give anyone any free advice.
Yeah,
free headline advice.
I gotta save that pun to impress Gary.
And another one of your most favorite bands is releasing an album this fall. And we were talking before, Emily, about how you are committed to do this old school with mm-hmm. the album coming out. You are saving yourself for the actual release date to listen to this album.
Yeah, I do that a lot, specifically because my particular job, I work in the charts department here at Billboard, and I don't really write critically about music at all. Like, when I write about music, it's always in a very objective context. And so there's no real need for me to listen to an album before it's released, except for just like genre classification purposes. And so I don't feel like I'm such a super fan of Deer Hunter that I kind of like, I just want to be a fangirl about it. Like, I don't want to listen to it early, because it's like, that ruins my experience with the band. Like, I want to listen to it in the way that they intend for me to listen to it, if that makes sense. Maybe I just like love depriving myself of things. I don't know. but yeah, so I don't like, there are very, very few albums that I ever really will listen to before they are officially released into the world.
Oh, so you normally do things this way.
I normally do things this way. But even for a band that like I'm super anticipating it, I just don't, I don't know.
So what's your plan? The album is coming out on October 16th. It's called Fading Frontier. And what is your plan for this? Is it the first day stream, just hopping on Spotify when it goes live, buying a record? What's your plan?
So I'm going to pre-order a record, and then I'll stream it the day of.
Have you found that sometimes when you order, it's through the mail, right?
Yeah.
Have you found they sometimes come the day before the actual release date?
I'm trying to think yeah, like a handful of times.
Yeah, it happens sometimes. Yeah. So you might even get it ahead of the Spotify.
Yeah. Yeah. And in that scenario, yes, I would open the record and listen to it that day. but but there are even like some, there are some bands where, okay, so Beach House, for example, I haven't listened to the Beach House record yet because I waited till it came out, but then I've been like, I want like the timing, I want like the setting to be right. Like, I want to be in the right state of mind to listen to the Beach House album for the first time. And I just haven't been ready for it
that
yet.
That still hasn't happened yet.
I haven't listened to the album yet.
That cherry colored depression hasn't crept up on you.
I love Beach House. Like, I'm sure I'm really going to love this album, but I haven't listened to it yet.
It's called Depression Cherry. That is why I said that very seemingly random.
Yeah. But
so
okay,
it's been
so
a sunny few months for you.
Wait, so I'm assuming, have you listened to the Deer Hunter album?
Yeah, I have.
Okay, well, let's just talk about the first two singles.
The first new single, it was called Snakeskin.
Yes.
And that is just a groovy-ass song.
Yeah.
And I remember I tweeted that, saying like, no, they've never done anything like this before. And you threw, it was from Weird Era Continued, one of the tracks,
yeah,
right?
I'm trying to think of which song
it was the second track on the album. The hook is him like singing the song title a bunch of times.
Is it? Did I send you Operation?
Operation, yeah. And you're like, yo, they've been groovy before.
Well, they always have like at least one like one pretty groovy, one like kind of like pop more like accessible song on every album. So like for a lot of people, like on Halcyon Digest, like Desire Lines was like their entry point song, Or even like Nothing Ever Happened, like on Microcastle. Like they always have like the one entry point song. So yes, I definitely agree that Snakeskin was like
you can dance
pretty groovy.
You can like dance to Snakeskin though. I don't know if you can dance to any of those other songs you mentioned.
I have danced to.
Yeah, there you go.
I have. And then did you listen to, I think it was just yesterday or the day before, Breaker.
Yeah, the duet, the Lockett and Bradford duet.
Oh my God,
which
my heart
over.
Exploded.
Does Lockett do duets? Does he sing like lead often?
He usually sings lead on like maybe like two songs an album, like one or two. But this is the first time they've ever sung a duet on a record before, and I think it was beautiful.
Yeah. I think you and like lots of people will like this album. It's very direct. I could see it attracting a lot of new fans. It is definitely one of the most, maybe the most successful album they've done. And yeah, it's just, it's really good.
I'm also excited about the fact that Bradford is opening for himself on tour.
Yeah,
Atlas Sound is opening for Deer Hunter on tour. I think my eyes rolled back into my head when I saw that. I was just like, buy ticket immediately. Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. What are you excited about, Chris?
What am I excited about?
Yeah, what are you being a fan stan about?
Okay. The album I'm most excited about for the fall is from a band from Philly. They're called Beach Slang. And they have been kicking around for a couple years. They have not made a full length yet. They've put out a couple singles. However, the members of the band, so the front man, his name is James Alex. He was in a band previously called Weston. They're not like young kids. It's not like their first band or anything. They've been around for a minute. But Beach Slang, I would say, has been getting more buzz than any of the projects they've done before. And it's 10 tracks long. They're all, except for one is a little over 3 minutes, they're all around 2.5 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
It's punk rock that a lot of people compare to The Replacements. It's so earnest. It's like the most earnest music possible. It's really good. It's just diverse enough where it's like you can really sink into it, where they do have for most of the album one rock formula they go back to over and over again. But then they'll mix, there's like an acoustic jam towards the middle of the album that's very sweet, kind of like maybe you know the song Skyway by the Replacements.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of reminds me of that song. People compare them to Replacements a lot. They also get a Goo Goo Dolls comparison pretty often, which is interesting if you know what the backstory of the Goo Goo Dolls is, like being this underdog college rock band of the late 80s who were in Buffalo and just sounded a lot like the Replacements.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really just sort of this timeless sound that a band like them is just doing really, really well.
Yeah, I listened to this album, you sent it to me, and I found myself thinking, like, I want to see this live. Like, I was like, I think I would really appreciate this in a live context, especially, like, as you mentioned, they fall into some of the same formula for some of, you know, the songs. And there's, like, is a bit of repetition, but I think, like, in a live setting, that would be, like, really, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, it'd be, like, very rallying, you know? Like
visceral.
Yeah.
All those adjectives.
Yeah,
actually, I've not gotten the chance to see them live yet, but they're definitely coming through this fall, and I'm definitely going to be there. I'm very excited about that. The album is called The Things We Do to Find People Who Feel Like Us, and it's out October 30th. Also, more on the pop side, I am really ready for this new Church's album. This album's awesome. It comes out September 25th on Glassnote. It's gotten a lot of publicity, as it rightfully should. It's called Every Open Eye. The songs that they've shown so far have been total gems. I can say that whole album really does follow suit. And I'm glad that they were able to deliver, because what they did with their first album is the path that a lot of new artists have to take, where they'll get buzz on a few early singles over a period of time. And when they make their first album, it's really just this collection of songs written over a long period of time, maybe over a year. And it's just almost like a compilation for the debut album. Mm. This second Church's album is like the first time they sat down for like one
They had a cohesive idea of what they wanted to present.
And it's definitely not a reinvention by any means. If anything, it's just tighter than what they did before. Mm-hmm.
I definitely noticed I think in the song Make Them Gold, like it has like the very pop we chorus, you know, like they're using we. It's more inclusive. It's more like for a, you can tell it's like a conscious move to a wider audience. It's not about I and you. It's about we and how we feel and our, you know, our experience. And I was like, oh, I see you.
Yeah.
But it's really good. No.
And it's the sort of album that makes me hold out this little thread of hope that what if this crosses over? It would be so cool.
Well, you know, I was listening the song right after that, Clearest Blue. When I was listening to it, I don't know if you ever have this thought process, but I have like what I think are like movie songs or like soundtrack songs.
It's like I could see this in like the emotional catharsis.
Well, I was like, this is like the climax. Like it's like you know, he wasn't gonna show up for the dance, and she's all sad, and then she looks, and they lock eyes, and then everyone has goosebumps, you know, and it's like that, you know, movie moment.
The next Shailene Woodley film.
The scene
that gets played in the MTV Movie Awards during the when they're announcing the finalists. So that is the soundtrack.
Yeah, exactly.
We got it. We got it. Churches.
Yeah.
What's always interesting about doing a list of the most anticipated albums for this season of this year, the way dates run and the way albums just drop out of the sky, surprise releases now, you really can't just include albums that have a concrete release date. You have to be open-minded to
the what ifs.
Some things could just come out of nowhere, so you have to do it along the lines of, well, the evidence is pointing in this direction. There's at least a really good chance this album will come out in fall 2015. Including it.
What if album are you most hoping happens?
It's between Grimes and Chromatics. I think Grimes is a little bit more likely because she's at least said that the album was coming out in October.
Mm-hmm.
Chromatics did at some point, and they've been dropping tracks. They actually just dropped an amazing cover of Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Mm-hmm.
So good. It was for Fashion Week.
That sounds good.
But they take their time, and it might come out this year. It's called Dear Tommy. It might come out this year, or it might not. And their last album was fucking awesome.
When was the last album?
Was 2012.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay. I've never really listened to Chromatics.
It's a really long album, the last one they did, Kill for Love.
Uh-huh.
But it's definitely worth the time. Mm-hmm. It's like there's some jams on side A, first five tracks, and there's some longer sweeping interludes on the second side. This is just off the top of my head. I would guess the album comes in over an hour, but it's definitely one of those like turn off your phone, like set aside time, just experience. It's a fantastic album.
I gotta listen to that then. Grimes is like, I don't know. Do you ever get the sensation like when there's something happening on the internet and Twitter, you know, Twitter is outraged at something.
Yeah, yeah.
And you just make a conscious decision to like sit it out. Like I do this all the time. I'm just like, I'm gonna sit this one out.
Yeah, yeah.
Like there's this article everybody's talking about. Everyone's, you know, and I'm just like, I'm sitting this one out. I'm gonna take a pass. I'm not going to engage. And that's kind of how I felt about Grimes for the past like several years.
Several years.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when did we have like Grimes' last
Visions
album?
Visions was what, 2012, I think.
Yeah, so since 2012, I'm just like, I'm going to sit out on Grimes.
And I feel like it's sort of like the indie swish with the Kanye album that may or may not ever come out, where it was like it was at one time given a release date. Mm-hmm. It was at one time given a title. We don't even know what the Grimes album is supposed to be called right now.
Yeah, I just like lacks the energy to follow any of those developments.
Yeah, and it's a sort of deal where Clara will give an interview and she'll say some things just sort of offhand about what she's doing, and the internet will farm it as fast as possible and just get it up there like it's gospel.
Yeah.
It's like she dropped this track, Reality, that I think she just sort of put it out there, and now it's like she sort of said it would be on the album, but no one really knows for sure. Mm-hmm. She said some line about she just disowns her poppier singles from the Visions album, songs like Oblivion. Mm-hmm. She did the song that was supposed to be for Rihanna, the song Go, which I fucking loved. But I think she's implied that she doesn't want to go in that direction. She said she wants to be kind of a middle ground between pop and the underground. Mm-hmm. So I'm really interested. I just have no idea what to expect.
Okay, well, when it comes out, let me know. You know what I was thinking about is, are we going to get a Beck album? He released Dreams,
and it's doing well. It's been on the alternative songs chart.
It's doing really well, and it's like an awesome song, and like an introduction for people who weren't familiar with Beck before into like, oh yeah, Beck's really funky. Like, Beck's awesome. Yeah.
I wrote an article entitled "Who Is Beck?" Who I basically just explained in general terms, like a primer on who this guy is for, you know, like 17-year-olds.
Yeah.
I teen-splained Beck.
Yeah, that's great. But yeah, I would love a Beck album this year, full of like delicious funky pop jams.
I wonder what direction he would go in, because his last album, Morning Phase, was not that.
Well, but that's like the cycles that he goes in, though.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, it's like, if we're following proper Beck protocol, the next album should be like a funky thing.
Oh. Yeah. And it's like, you know, a more commercial-minded artist would definitely be all like, gotta capitalize on that post-Grammy buzz, rush out the next album while you're in the spotlight. I could see Beck just sort of wanting to do the opposite of that, to troll people and be like, nah, I'm gonna wait 3 years for my album.
I hope not.
Here's another one that has no real release date yet. Dive. You into Dive?
Sitting this one out.
Yeah? Wow.
I can't, like, it's like, I don't know. Like, I thought that their first, like, I remember listening to their first album and, like, being, like, into it or interested. And I think I saw them maybe open for Ty Siegel in D.C., and being like completely underwhelmed by their live performance. And I've seen them since then, and it just like just did
it's
nothing
different
for me.
Than the album, for sure.
Yeah.
It's more rock and live, or at least that's what I've seen, because I think you could see them several times and get several different vibes.
Yeah. But, I don't know.
This one is supposed to come out sometime in the fall on Captured Tracks.
Okay.
And they're touring, opening for Ride right now. I'm not. It's a few dates. I'm not sure how big of a tour it is, but it's one of those pairings that just makes sense.
Yeah,
like a legacy shoegaze band, four letters.
Yeah,
Dive opening for Ride. I like it. That's
pretty good.
And you were also into that Julia Holter album, right?
Yeah. Okay. Before we talk about Julia Holter, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Okay. So how often, when your friends recommend music to you, do you actually listen to it? Like, if a friend's like, hey, check out, like, I really love this artist, or check out this album, do you usually, like, actually actively check out their recommendation?
Depends on how you define friends. if a friend is someone like you, Emily White, who I know in real life, I will check that out. If it's your buddy publicist who you speak to in email once every 8 months.
They're like, I know you're going to love this, man.
some hot new bands, some suggestions.
Yeah.
R.I.Y.L. if you like.
Yeah.
Joy Division, Metallica and the Beatles. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe.
Well, yeah. Okay, so for me, it's there are a few friends, even though I know that they know my music taste really well and that they're probably recommending something that I will like, there's sometimes that I just like, don't get around to it. I don't actively listen to it when I get the recommendation. And I have a friend who has a theory that it's like people don't actually like receiving recommendations or receiving mixtapes. They like giving them and making them.
Yeah,
like,
I can see that.
The act of making a playlist for someone or sending them an album that you think that they'll like is more rewarding to you than receiving the recommendation, because people like to discover music on their own, or like they like to come across it themselves.
Okay.
So sometimes what will happen is I'll come across something myself and then I'll go, oh, that's the artist that so-and-so told me to check out. Mm-hmm. Or, oh, I know my friend really likes this band. And then I'll be like in the pro column, but I still am more likely to listen to it and like it if I come across it myself. So I was curious if it was the same for you.
See, I thought you were going
to
go
because
somewhere.
This applies to we're coming back because it applies to Julia Holter.
We're going to come to you, Julia. I was going to say, I thought you were going for something like, yo, we're the selfie generation. Back in the 80s, when we listened to college rock and,
we
you know.
We trusted gatekeepers.
But yeah, back then we loved making mixtapes and we always listened to them. But now all we want to do is go on Tumblr and make selfies and just make mixtapes.
There's definitely probably some truth to that. because, no, for sure. I mean, because the barrier to discovery was so much higher. Like, you did need someone to give you a recommendation, or you needed to read Spin to look at the album reviews in order to decide what it was worth putting your money in. Like, you needed that recommendation level before you could access something. But now, like, I can access something first. I don't need the recommendation first in order to know what to access, you know?
You're making a good argument for music journalists to just go away.
Well, but it's the inverse now. So when I think the best criticism or the best journalism, I just had a conversation with someone about this the other day, is like teaches me something about it that I didn't know. So I'm not necessarily looking to a critic to tell me what's good or not. Like, I can decide what's good or not for me. I'm looking to a critic to like give me, to put something into a historical context, or to draw out a comparison, or to like teach me something about it that I wouldn't know from just listening to it. Like, to me, that's the best. Like, that's what I look for from journalists.
See, where I think it's really important now for journalists to come correct is with the access they have, because everyone, you know, can listen to an album and say something about it, whether they like it or not. But where music journalists have some privileges, access to the artists and, you know, being able to do interviews, attend a show more easily, and being able to make the most out of an interview and get something really interesting out of an artist, get them to open up, get them to go to a different place, convey something to the listener that they couldn't get by just listening to the album on Spotify or going through pictures on Tumblr. I think that's where we really need writers.
Yeah. No, that makes sense too.
Okay, so.
But that doesn't.
5 minutes ago, I was worried. I thought music journalists were going away. But we saved them.
But, like, an illuminating quote from an artist isn't gonna probably be the thing that gets me to listen to the album. Mm-hmm. That's gonna be after I've discovered something on my own, decided that I like it, and go in search of more context. That's gonna be valuable to me as a listener. But it's likely not gonna work the other way around.
Okay.
Most often. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So Julia Holter, Julia Holter is like a perfect example of, one of my best friends is a huge Julia Holter fan. She just got a Julia Holter tattoo. Like, she's a huge fan. And for years, she's been a huge fan.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I listened to Julia Holter's last album. Like, I thought it was fine. Like, I went with her to see Julia Holter live. Like, I thought it was fine. Like, you know. She's been talking about, you know, the new album's coming out. She's so excited. Like, Julia Holter is her deer hunter as it relates to me. She's so excited about it. I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, whatever. And I was thinking about what albums to talk about today for, like, fall preview stuff. And I was like, oh, well, you know, that Julia Holter album's coming out. Like, maybe I'll, like, listen to what's out so far. And I listened to the two singles that have been released. And I was like, oh my God, this is so good. Mm-hmm. It's like I finally, something like a switch finally turned. I was like,
and you're just, I'm going to go run into my friend with a Julia Holter tat. I get it now.
I know. Like I literally was chatting her earlier, just like that sax solo, man, it's so good. I can't believe it.
Is there some smooth sax on the Julia Holter?
There's some super smooth. No, it's not smooth. It's not smooth. It's like janky, funky, amazing.
Okay.
But yeah, so she has a new album, yeah. Have You in My Wilderness. It's coming out September 25th.
I like the album art a lot.
And she's released two songs so far. The first one, Feel You, came with an awesome video where she's just like hanging out with a dog. This super cute little dog. And like that song was, you know, pretty awesome. But then this song, Sea Calls Me Home, and it's like there's a part of the chorus where she's saying like it's lucidity, it's so clear, and I'm just like, that was like my aha moment. I was like, this, because it is like it's the perfect. It's much more accessible than I found her previous work to be, which it's like I like, you know, like very intricate, delicate, or you know, orchestrational stuff, but sometimes, and I just never really found like a good entry point to Julia Holter, but like this song in particular was just like, I don't know, it's lucidity, it's so clear, yeah. It's so clear, and there's a sax solo, and yeah, it made me really excited. Oh,
are you into Def Heaven? Are you sitting them out too, like on the Def Heaven sidelines?
I'm not. Yeah, I haven't engaged much. I feel like if I saw them live, I'd probably have a different opinion. Like I remember when that last album came out, and I remember listening to it and like liking it. But I don't know. It's probably something I would like live.
Yeah, I'm really in the same boat with you. I listened to Sunbather, their last album, and thought it was really interesting. Listened to it a few times, and you know, sort of tucked in the back of my mind, like would be cool to see them live. But I've never been a big metal fan, and I've never really been drawn to like long guitar songs that like don't really repeat themselves. It's something that I can find interesting, but not something that I really like crave or seek out listening to.
Yeah.
So I was listening to the new album on the way to Basilica Festival this weekend, which is an extremely on the way to Basilica thing to do, with my friend who was doing sound there, who's like knows about guitar sounds and effects and things like that. So we just got into this conversation while listening to the album. I was like, yeah, I really don't know much of anything about these things. And he was just like, yeah, we'll talk some effects. So he was explaining to me, like, this is like a phaser they're using right now. And like, they're using like a delay pedal and a wah-wah sort of deal here. And like, this is just basically a Metallica riff. And I was like, oh, but I can't really hear the bass. And he's like, well, they just mix the bass really low in this because it would just kind of like, you wouldn't be able to hear it or the kick drum. They would cancel each other out. So I was feeling that hearing the album introduced to me in this way and being more knowledgeable about what was really going on with the guitar and the production of it was a good way to get into that.
Yeah. Yeah. You got it. Rock-splain to you.
Rock-splain. Sometimes.
Rock. With
sometimes you just need that rock-splain.
I want you guys to hear I'm saying rock with a W. Rock.
Rocks. Rock-splain.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's cool.
Yeah. And now I want to go. And I was we listened to the whole album and I was like, wow, I enjoyed that a lot more than I remember enjoying Sunbather or Def Heaven in general in the past. And now I want to go back and listen to their other stuff and see now. Because I was thinking how with a lot of artists, it's the sort of thing where if you just listen to it on your headphones, you could just be like, oh, this is fine. Like if someone shows it to you, and you're like, this song is so great. And you're just sitting there like, yeah, yeah. And they're like, no, no, it gets good. Trust me. Sometimes you just
That's like someone asking you to like watch stand up that they've seen before, and then they're watching you watch
with
it
with that face, or like
because they're like waiting for the punchline to hit, and they're watching you to see your reaction when the punchline hits. It's terrible. Never ask someone to do that. When it comes to discovery, like you enjoy sharing something with other people. Like, I want you to watch this stand-up clip because I want to watch you watch it, you know? Like, that's enjoyable for me as the person giving the discovery, but it's not as enjoyable for the person receiving it because you want to come to it on your own.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, on your own, I think a lot of times it might take just having a certain conversation like I did or... Just, I think a lot is just seeing it live.
Yeah.
Being surrounded by a lot of other people who already, like, get it, who are, like, already indoctrinated, already part of the team.
Yeah.
Just hearing their conversations, seeing how they react, like, oh, this is how you connect with this and appreciate it.
No, I totally agree. That's, like, live music is definitely my favorite way to discover new bands. That's, like, I always try to see openers.
Yeah. That's a good lead-in for this next one I want to talk about. Magical Clouds. Do you know where I'm going with this?
Oh, they opened for Lorde.
They
once.
Did. They opened for Lorde overlooking the Hudson River in New York City on one of the party piers. Like at sundown.
Uh-huh.
Like a late summer evening last year.
Were you there for them or were you there for Lorde?
Both. Can I say both?
Yeah, that's okay.
Or are you gonna make me pick sides?
No, it's fine.
And yeah, it was. To be honest, I mean, I had just seen Lorde at Lollapalooza, and I was really far away, and I was excited to, like, actually see her at, one of her shows and get closer. But I think I was at least equally just enticed to see how this crowd would respond to Magical Clouds.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think it's a sort of thing where you'd have to just go into people's mind and see what they were thinking. Because I think even if people are really feeling a Magical Clouds show, which is what it's like when they play their own show in a much smaller venue, it's just going to be people standing there and just feeling it really deeply. You're not going to just be able to like gaze over the crowd and be like, oh, yeah, they're into this.
Yeah.
Unless they're, you know, unless people are crying.
Yeah.
Well, which could happen.
Yeah.
But so Magical Clouds have a new album coming out on October 16th. It's called Are You Alone?
Oh my God. I haven't really listened to Magical Clouds. It's another one that I kind of I don't know.
You like Lorde a lot.
Yeah,
I remember when she first started, you were at like her first six consecutive New York shows.
I was at Lorde's very first US show. Ever.
What percentage of that crowd was music industry?
It was a really
95 or 99.
It was a really funny crowd because it was at LPR like in the downs like the weird I don't know not the main stage at LPR in New York and there's like a back box where it's like all the white dudes in suits were in the
sequester them off.
And then there were like
keep them
screaming teens like smoking weed.
So
like,
she had teens already at
that
show.
She had teens already.
Right?
Yeah, all right. Yeah, she had teens already. for sure. It was pretty cool. Yeah, I like Lorde. I like Lorde a lot. I want to listen to the Lorde Disclosure song. When is that coming?
It's out there now.
No,
I think
a snippet leaked.
A snippet leaked, which I believe was taken down because it was like not good quality and the label didn't want it there. But the Disclosure album's, it's soon. We will hear that album in full. And it's an interesting one because they're one of those artists who are such a perfect storm of crossover appeal. And a lot of it is because of just Disclosure not singing themselves and enlisting great collaborators to come and sing on their tracks.
Yeah.
And also this thing we do in music towards the end of the year, year-end lists. I don't know, they kind of give me anxiety because there's all these albums that I feel like I enjoy but don't think I got deep enough into them and like want to put it on my list.
Yeah.
And then there's new albums dropping, surprise, end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so much pressure.
Yeah.
So much pressure. And then it's like, I feel January 5th by then, your whole thing just changes.
I feel like I'm this year almost like the opposite, where it's like so much of my listening time has been consolidated into just like a handful of albums, where I feel like there's a lot of stuff I haven't listened to yet, or I haven't been like as adventurous in listening as I normally am. So it's like instead of like listening to a bunch of new stuff, I've listened to the Jason Isbell album like for a third of the year, or I guess that's not quite accurate because it hasn't been out that long. But yeah, I don't know. So year end will be interesting. I mean, like, we can already, like, I can already bet my life probably the Deer Hunter album will be my favorite album of the year. Like, I feel like there's not really a scenario in which that wouldn't happen. So
surprise Atlas Sound album.
Oh my god, what would I do? Like, wow. Whew. In my dreams.
Well, I think we got fall 2015 there. We got it covered.
Yeah, it seems pretty comprehensive.
Rock on.
Yeah, cool. Thanks for having me on, Chris.
Absolutely. So yeah, that concludes another episode of the Alt in Our Stars podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast by searching for it in the podcasts app on your phone in iTunes, or by clicking the iTunes link towards the bottom of the story. If you're listening to it on the Billboard website, in the bottom graph of the story, there's a link for iTunes. You can head there and subscribe to the podcast. Also, you can stream some archived episodes. We had the Wonder Years on last week. Had a really interesting talk on where country music is headed a week before that. So, yeah. Hope you check out the past episodes. And remember, there's a new one every Friday afternoon at around 1 p.m. Until next time, have a good weekend, guys. Peace out. My name is Chris.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.